Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Scientists from all over the world have been debating the status of one of the planets in our solar system. Is it a planet? Is it not a planet? You listen to the scientific facts laid out in the sun. You decide for yourself. Is it a planet? Or is it a planet?
Well, according to my next guest, the planet in question is most definitely a planet. Here now is Neil deGrasse Tyson, director of the Hayden Planetarium and the Rose Center for Earth and Space at the American Museum of Natural History. Here in Manhattan, he has written a new book, The Pluto Files, The Rise and Fall of America's Favorite Planet. So let's spend our last few minutes this hour talking about Pluto. Hey, Dr. Tyson, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be back on your show. Thanks for having me.
You were at the vanguard of the movement to change Pluto's status. Is this Pluto's consolation prize?
Well, I'd like to think of Pluto, I'd like to think of the solar system as not having lost a planet, but having gained a new sort of swath of real estate in the outer solar system, where we now know is heavily populated by a lot of icy objects that look and sort of smell like Pluto does. So the notion that we've lost a planet, I think, is sort of a culturally biased perspective on what actually unfolded.
Well, tell us a little bit more and remind people of the basic science. If we didn't lose a planet, what did we gain?
Well, what happened was in the 1990s, by the way, Pluto has always been known to be an odd ball. It's odd. We've always known that. Its orbit is elongated. It crosses the orbit of Neptune. No other planet crosses any other planet's orbit. Its orbit is tipped out of the plane of the solar system, so it's mostly ice by volume. If Pluto were where Earth is right now, heat from the sun would evaporate the ice. It would grow a tail. And Pluto is just a badly behaved object. But we knew of nothing else to do with it because it would have to have been a class of one, and you can't in science have a class of one. In the 1990s, other frozen bodies in the outer solar system were discovered. And we started thinking, maybe Pluto is not the ninth planet. It's the largest or the brightest among a new kind of object that we now have learned exists in the outer solar system.
And you wrote, it's always a little scary when the person who hired you calls you up and asks, what have you done? So were you surprised by the outpouring of support for Pluto's planetary status?
Yes, I was surprised. Back in our exhibit, and when we opened the Rose Center for Earth and Space, we organized the solar system not as an enumeration of planets, which is the traditional way it had always been done and the way it's been taught, but we organized them by groups. So the terrestrial planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, they're all rocky, small, and dense. Then the gas giants, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. They're big, bulbous, gassy. They have rings, many moons. So it was the new family photo of the solar system simply didn't count planets. Well, that didn't impress the New York Times. A year after we opened, page one story, Pluto not a planet? Only in New York. And it was at that moment that my life basically went to hell. I started getting hate mail from kindergartners and third graders, and people started choosing up sides, and we were accused of kicking Pluto out of the solar system.
But it's settled science now, as far as you can tell from your colleagues.
Well, over the years, you see, we had the occasion to think deeply about this problem before anybody else did, because we were about to cut metal. And if you make an exhibit that's costly, you want to give it some shelf life. And the professional community would think about this as deeply as we did, but like 5 or 6 years later. And they finally voted to demote Pluto to dwarf planet status. And I don't really care what the definition of planet is. As an educator and as a scientist, I want people to understand what's going on. And to understand it is often not because you thought about the word that defines it. It's because you think about the properties of the objects. So we organize them by like properties. And if you want to call Pluto a planet or not a planet and you define it that way, I'm okay with that. But I'm not duty-bound to present the solar system as an enumeration of planets. That was not our interest here.
And there are some dissenters still. But the subtitle of your book is The Rise and Fall of America's Favorite Planet. And you do say that reverence for Pluto is a strictly American phenomenon. So the French don't treat it with the same reverence that they save for, say, Jerry Lewis?
Not in the least. That's right. I mean, you go to Europe and they look at us like, are you feeling okay? And I thought long and hard about why this could be so. It is true that an American discovered Pluto, but not everyone knows that, so that couldn't have been the real driver. And then you realize Pluto was discovered the same year, coincidentally, that the dog was first sketched by Disney. And so Pluto, the lovable, dim-witted bloodhound owned by Mickey, has the same tenure in the hearts and minds of Americans as Pluto, the cosmic object. And you can't underestimate the value of pop culture on the emotions of people who carry this with them.
It's a good thing Venus wasn't called Goofy.
That's right.
Now, in 2006, NASA launched a spacecraft called New Horizons that's currently en route to Pluto and its moons. That is far, far away from Cape Canaveral or anywhere else. And I think it's supposed to reach the Kuiper Belt by 2015. Yeah. What does NASA hope to learn?
Well, that's the fastest spaceship ever launched ever, because it's far away, and one of the great rules of science is you want to be able to finish your experiment before you die. Right? It's an unwritten but important rule
there
that we all ascribe to. So
ego.
So it's intended to go to Pluto, a flyby Pluto, get a close-up view on it. It's not going to tell us anything different about its orbit. We know its orbit. We know it's mostly ice. There's some fundamental features of Pluto that led to it being demoted to dwarf planet. But what it's going to learn about is more about the chemistry of its surface, whether there are magnetic fields, what the environment is, because this new zone of the solar system, now known as the Kuiper Belt of icy bodies, we call it the Kuiper Belt of comets. Gerard Kuiper was an astronomer at mid-century who predicted that there'd be this reservoir of icy bodies that is left over from the formation of the solar system. And sure enough, they're all there.
We just have a minute left. I'm curious if you came up with a new mnemonic. You know, we grew up learning the names of the planets, memorizing the order through "my very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas." What's my very educated mother going to serve us now?
Well, that would be a mnemonic right there. It ended on the N.
Or my producer came up with "my very educated mother just served us nothing."
Or "my very educated mother just served us nachos." I mean, it's not a hard exercise. In fact, I devote 3 pages in the book to people's experiments in this regard. Oh, by the way, I think the most charming aspect of the book, if I dare even say that about my own
book. We have 15 seconds.
Sure, is that I reprint the actual scans of hand-scrawled, crayon-written letters from the pissed-off third graders expressing their sentiment. So it's really a celebration of the human reaction to a scientific controversy.
By the way, I should actually thank one of our listeners who posted on our comments page. The mnemonic ended in "Mother just served us nothing." And we thank Neil deGrasse Tyson from the Planetarium, author now of The Pluto Files, The Rise and Fall of America's Favorite Planet. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your interest.